Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash, and this is the weekend edition where we normally interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today, we have a very special guest. We have someone very notable from the world of figure skating, Olympic gold medalist, bronze medalist, two-time world champion. The list of hardware goes on and on. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, Megan Duhamel.
Thanks for having me, and on such a nice setting.
It's a beautiful day. We're here out on the water in the middle of the Ottawa River, so it's great to have you here with us. Megan, you've obviously gone through such a tremendous journey. You've had some ups and downs. You know, business people often experience ups and downs, and I think there's a lot of parallels to be had between the world of business and the world of sports. You know, you were at the top of your game for a little while, then not so much. Tell us a little bit about some of that journey and what you learned from that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in so many facets of life, it happens that you have to fall down 100 times so you could rise up one time. And it's continuous. It's this ebb and flow that you go through. After the 2014 Olympics, my skating partner and I, we were at a crossroads in our career where we had qualified for the Olympics. We were national champions. We were world bronze medalists. And we had to decide if we wanted to continue our professional athletics career for another Olympics, or did we want to retire and move on with our lives? And at that point, we decided that we wanted to continue skating, but we wanted to do it our way. We wanted to have a say and have ownership over our career. We didn't want to be worried about results. We didn't want the stress of focusing on winning and focusing on results. We wanted to have more freedom. We chose music that season to skate to by Muse, the rock band, which is very unheard of in the figure skating world. And all of a sudden, we just simplified things. We started enjoying ourselves more, and we had an undefeated season. In 2 years, our worst result was second place.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. So, you know, oftentimes in business, we talk about encountering difficulty and simply making the decision to not quit.
Yes.
And not quitting and just staying with it. You know, you went from first place to seventh place. What was that stress like? What did you have to do to overcome that?
Yeah, after winning our second world title in 2016, between then and the world championships in 2017 became the lowest year of our skating career, where we felt like we didn't have direction, we didn't have goals. We started worrying about what would happen if we didn't win, because we'd just gotten used to winning. And our focus shifted, and all of a sudden we found ourselves in seventh place at the world championships, 1 year out of the Olympics, where we were destined and our goal was to win. And we had to rebuild ourselves step by step. And what we did was we set personal goals that we wanted to accomplish every single day. So we weren't focused on the Olympics in 1 year. We were focused on what can we do this week? What can we do tomorrow? How can we be better? And we just kept the focus on ourselves and on our personal improvement. And we found ourselves back at the top.
I love what you're saying, because so much of, even in the world of business, you know, speaking from personal experience, you know, for example, you're on a show that's a daily podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to put together, you know, a feature film that, you know, that's a couple of hours long, but we're producing a show that is every day, seven days a week. And, you know, just like you're talking about, focusing on making today's show better than yesterday's, step by step, just making it better one day at a time, nothing more.
Yes, and I think it's great. You need to have dreams and you need to have these big aspirations, but you can't reach that level unless you improve every single day and you find things to improve every single day. And in the world of athletics, which is the same as the world of business and the world of education, when you reach a certain level, everybody has the same skills. And it takes very, very small improvements that make the difference between somebody that can be a champion and can be the best and somebody that will be fourth or fifth or sixth place in sport.
I've talked with many Olympic athletes, many who stood on the podium. Some of them have said, you know, as soon as the national anthem was over, have said, is that it? You know, is that what my life has come down to? You know, those 90 seconds. And, you know, and the same thing even with astronauts. Mm-hmm. You know, once they've traveled in space, it's something that it was a very defining event in their life, and they struggle to find meaning after that event. How have you moved on from the Olympics, and what are some of the new challenges in front of you?
Yes, I've heard many stories along those lines from athletes and from many people that when they kind of reached the pinnacle of what they were working towards. And something that's always been very natural to me, and it's happened throughout my skating career, and it happened again at the Olympics, that I'm able to enjoy the moment and like appreciate everything that went into standing on that podium and having that great performance. But at the same time, my brain is already racing. What's next? What can I do next? What challenge am I going to accomplish next and attack next? So it wasn't long after the Olympics that I was already thinking, okay, what can I do next? What can I do better? What can I train for that's not an Olympic sport? That I can train and challenge myself. I'd like to start running marathons. That's something that just a new challenge. And I've started coaching now and helping other skaters kind of go through that learning curve that I went through, go through the hard work I went through, and maybe share some of my experience with them and help inspire them and also to encourage them to reach their potential. And not everybody's potential is a gold medal in any sport, but they can reach their own goals and their own potential, and that will feel like a gold medal to them.
There are so many prescriptions of how to do this, meaning, you know, if you want to rise to a certain level, here's the formula, here's the way to do it. And I would say you've probably broken a lot of those rules. One of the things that you typically hear is to perform as an elite athlete, you need to consume vast quantities of animal protein. You're 100% vegan. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been almost 10 years that I'm 100% vegan, and it's one of the proudest accomplishments of my life. It ranks up there as high, if not higher, than my Olympic medals. It's something that I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life, and it is part of me for the rest of my life. And you know, when I first decided to make the switch and become vegan, my coach and my skating partner at the time both told me I was going to be malnourished. All those vegan people are malnourished. That's what they said. And I just came back to them and said, who do you know that's vegan? And maybe they're just not healthy. Not all vegans are malnourished, and watch me, I'll prove it to you. And the more people that kind of came at me questioning what I was doing, it made me want to do it more, because I thrive on proving people wrong. And I think that's what I was able to do. And it wasn't long that my coach was asking me to help other skaters with their nutrition and to maybe help them start a vegan diet. So he changed his opinion quite quick.
That's awesome. I love it. Well, in fact, in our family, we've gone vegan as well. In fact, you know, we met at Vegan Fest, which was lots of fun. What have you noticed when you're traveling? You know, you're traveling the world. It's not easy in many places to find vegan options. What's that experience been like? Do you bring your own food with you? What do you do?
I do travel with a lot of my own food, the necessities, things that I like to make sure I have. But right now, there's so many vegan options. I go on the website Happy Cow. Everywhere I go, happycow.com and the app of Happy Cow, I can find vegan and vegetarian health food stores and restaurants and little cafes and bakeries everywhere in the world. So I kind of make it part of my travel, and it's made traveling very fun, that when I go for an event or work or a skating competition somewhere in Japan or somewhere in Australia or somewhere in France, I get to see the city through trying to find these little vegan restaurants, and it makes traveling a lot of fun.
That's awesome. I love that.
So Megan, we were talking earlier about some of the life lessons that you've learned that are potentially applicable to business. If there was something for our listener, what would it be?
I think the number one thing I like to focus on is staying positive as you're trying to overcome challenges. There's never a straight line to success. You're going to have hurdles and roadblocks and mountains that seem impossible to climb, but the climb over or around these obstacles becomes a lot easier, and it will take less time if you have a positive frame of mind and you go about it with optimism. And I really, really like to focus on that. And it also helps you enjoy the journey and enjoy the struggle in a way, even if that sounds a little bit funny. There is something beautiful to enjoy in the struggle.
There really is. I think I love that. And, you know, one of the things that you talked about as well is this idea that when you were, you know, very young child, you said, you know, I'm going to the Olympics, which is like saying I'm going to go to the moon. Mm-hmm. You know, from where you were to landing a quad is a huge, huge jump. What did you focus on? Were there micro steps or medium-sized steps? How did you do that?
Well, at the time when I was about 6 years old and I started announcing I was going to the Olympics, I didn't really know what the process was to get to the Olympics. I just knew that that's where I wanted to be. So I began studying the sport. And I had read somewhere about a figure skater. Her name's Michelle Kwan, and she was a world champion and an Olympic medalist. And she said, if you want to be the best at something, you have to study it. So I said, okay, if Michelle Kwan is saying this, I'm going to do that. So I started studying all the great skaters of my childhood, Elvis Stoiko, Kurt Browning, Michelle Kwan, Tara Lipinski. I started studying them and seeing what they were doing and emulating them step by step by step, and trying to just take what made them successful and use it on my own journey.
You think about guys like Elvis Stoico, who was as much a martial artist as he was a skater. You know, he used the discipline of karate and the martial arts to develop not only strength, but poise and balance and all of these other things. How much did you do that sort of thing as well?
I worked a lot on my mind-body-spirit connection, not so much through martial arts, which was a passion of Elvis's and still is. I did it more through meditation and yoga to work on my focus and my concentration. And every single day I still meditate, but backstage before I went on the ice to compete, for example, at the Olympics, I just sat down. I listened to a guided meditation to get myself in the zone, focusing on the right things. And I really use that to guide me a lot.
Do you have a favorite meditation app that you use?
I use Insight Timer. And I prefer to have guided meditations. I feel like I get lost a little bit. My attention span is not so good when I'm without guidance. So I use guided meditations every single day. And Insight Timer has so many options, different categories. They even had a sports for anxiety and nerves and stress category. And I would use that type of meditation for my competitions.
Fantastic. I've been using an app called Oak, which is also quite good, but I'm going to definitely check that one out.
And I'm going to check that one out. I've never heard of that one.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much, Megan. It's always great to catch up with you. And for the listeners, whatever it is you're trying to do, follow Megan's advice. She's got some great, great ideas here and proof positive that it works.
Also, check out her Olympic performances on YouTube. They're absolutely breathtaking. And CBC Television did a great documentary chronicling her journey in the year leading up to this Olympics. In the meantime, have a spectacular day. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.